Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
They can't even for a second be happy for the guy. What are they looking for? Evidence against Jesus. That's what they're looking for. We'll see that in a couple minutes. Most likely, to them, this guy was a beggar. To the religious leaders, most of them were rich, not all of them. This guy was a beggar, so what was he to them? He's just a loser. Just a loser, but not to Jesus. What was he to Jesus? Well, the Bible says that we are all created in the image of God. For you note-takers, that's Genesis 1, 26 and 27.
In animal rescue facilities, the animals can feel misplaced, and sometimes they don't have the love they need. That is, until someone comes in and claims them as their own. Then that pet has a family who loves them as they are. In today's message, Pastor Jim says you must remind yourself that you have worth in God. Even when the world around you says you have no value, God sees the value in you. He loves you and wants you to be a part of His family. Trust in Him and allow Him to lead your life. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 9 as he begins his message, A Man Faces the Religious Leaders.
You know, when some people meet Jesus, the change is so dramatic that people begin to wonder if they're even the same person. For some of us, I know it happened to me, I even began to wonder, am I the same person? And last week we met a man who was born blind from birth. He met Jesus. Remember, Jesus rubbed spit and mud in his eyes. We said, don't do that here, okay? We're not Jesus. And then he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when the man did it, he was able to see. This man's neighbors, who we're going to meet now today in verses 8 through 12, knew him as the man who begged. The man who begged. And as we will see, meeting changed his life in so many ways. And perhaps for that and other reasons, they will bring him to the religious leaders. And so the title of our message today is A Man Faces the Religious Leaders. And part of our sub-series, we're calling it The Jesus Conflict with the Religious Establishment. The religious leaders, despite the fact that a miracle had happened, become even more angry and oppose God even more than before. Last week, Jesus said to the man, I am the light of the world, which he had said previously, and meaning he is the spiritual light of the world. And yet for many people, sadly, that light brings darkness. It's supposed to bring light to us, spiritual light to us, but it brings darkness. Why? Because sin spoils our spiritual condition. And this will be the effect on the religious leaders, and sadly, on many people we know. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, we're glad that you're here. If you drove out in the snow, you're here for a reason, let me tell you, right? And so we're glad that you're here. You just pray that you would just listen to what Jesus has to communicate with us. This discussion will take us through three sections. We're going to do two today. And then in verse 35, Jesus returns on the scene. Now you say, well, why did you call this Jesus conflict with the religious establishment? And Jesus isn't even in this. I think it's fair to say in today's passage that Jesus faces the religious leaders through the man born blind. And a lot of times he will communicate to people through you if you are a follower of Jesus. In the Gospels, Jesus is often doing things so good to people. But what happens? A lot of people just won't believe. Yet others put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's why we want to always keep an open mind, think about these things, and hear what Jesus is saying to us. Now, here's the thing that I always say to people, that yes, there is this communication that goes back and forth between there, but there's also this communication, something that's going on between you and God. And that's the really, really important thing to listen for. So let's meet the neighbors, okay? Verses 8 and 9, all right? Therefore, okay, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was born blind said, is this not he, or some versions say the same man, okay, who sat and begged, or used to sit and beg? Verse 9, some said, this is the man, or this is he. They're like, yeah, this is the guy. Others said, well, he's like him. We might say, he looks like him, okay? And he said, or some versions say, he kept saying, I am he. I'm the guy. All right? Now, in the ancient world, most people who were born blind, you know how they made a living? They begged. They begged. There really wasn't much else that they could do for a lot of them. But the neighbors are shocked because they've seen this guy for years, and they're like, how could this be the same guy? I mean, we know that he couldn't see. I mean, you know, for years they probably couldn't fool him. And like, what happened to this guy? Others are like, nah, it's not him. It's not him. And it just looks like him. So they're all confused. It seems like they can't believe what they are seeing. What are they seeing? The radical change of somebody who has met Jesus Christ. That's what they're seeing, and it seems too hard for them to even believe it. Now, let's not forget the man for a second. It's easy to lose track of him in this. He's now able to see everyone. Born from birth, didn't know his own family, didn't know his friends, didn't know his neighbors, didn't know anybody. It's a totally new world for him. And for a lot of people, when they come to faith in Jesus Christ and their spiritual eyes are opened, it's a totally new world. You just can't even believe this. You're like, oh my gosh, what happened? What happened to me? He's so different, they don't know what to make of it. And once again, that has happened to many of you. And once again, sometimes we don't know what to make of it. Change can be incredible for the person, because what's going on right now in this man, the power of God is now in him. It is dramatically changing him. People see it, and it's hard for them to believe it. And for others, quite honestly, it scares them. It really scares them. Do you ever meet anybody like that? Like, my friends told me when I became a follower of Jesus, like, you scare me, bro. Like, I don't know what's going on with you. Did you have like a nervous breakdown? Or did somebody like to go to like some brain therapy or something like that? What's going on there? And so there's so many people like this in the Gospels, where especially Jesus takes these people that are so far from him, and he brings them in, not religious people, into following him, that it really freaks people out, okay? The change is just so drastic. See, one of the reasons I think Jesus does that, so we know it's him. If it was just kind of like regular people, he doesn't do that. And here the man keeps saying, I am the guy. I am the guy. That brings us to the classic verse we come to all the time, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone... Did you catch that, anyone? Right? You know who that excludes? None of you. Nobody online? Sorry. No listen on the radio? No. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New creation. Well, what does that look like? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's almost like God says, I don't remember anything about that way that guy used to be. I know all that. Another version says, see, the new has come. Very, very exciting. When we come to verse 10, the neighbor's still talking. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? So verse 11, he tells them what happened. He answered and said to them, a man called Jesus. Remember that. A man called Jesus made clay. Last week we said mud, that most versions say, and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. Verse 12. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. So the neighbors ask a very logical question. Okay, we know it's you. We know you were once blind. Now you can see. How were your eyes opened? But it's the wrong question. See, it's not supposed to be, it's not how were your eyes opened, it's who opened your eyes. That's the question that needs to be asked. Who is the one who did it? And it sounds like the once blind man doesn't know anything about Jesus. He calls him a man called Jesus. It's possible that after, because he went to the pool of Siloam and he came back and Jesus was gone, and maybe he said to people, who is that guy? Who was he? And people said to him, oh, you were talking to that guy we know as Jesus of Nazareth, right? We were talking to Jesus of Nazareth, the great miracle worker. Verse 12, they go, well, where is he? He goes, I don't know. Why? He doesn't even know what Jesus looks like. He has no idea. Do any of you know what Jesus looks like? Well, according to a lot of pictures I've seen, he looks like an Irish guy, right? But then again, I was raised Irish, so maybe we all think that, right? But, you know, no, he doesn't even know what Jesus looks like. Notice how it seems the man puts the emphasis on Jesus more than the other people do. It's a man called Jesus, okay? That's a great example for all of us. Years ago, I don't know if still people do a lot of them anymore, we used to do these things in the church called testimonies. How many of you know what a testimony is? Raise your hand if you know what a testimony is. Oh, a lot of you do. Okay, do these testimonies. But then we would, you're nice people, I'm not. A lot of people would come down off the stage and we'd go, that wasn't a testimony, that was a bragamony, right? And the people would be bragging how bad they were, right? And they never get to Jesus. Now, my experience is the guys who do the bragamonies, most of them fall away. It's about them and the way they used to be. It's not about Jesus. Okay? When talking to people, what happened is important. The great changes are important. Don't get me wrong. Okay? But who did it is more important. So you can tell people about the way you are, but you got to get to Jesus. You got to get to Jesus. That's the difference between a testimony and a bragamony. Okay, very good. Verse 13. So the neighbors are all confused. They're like, we don't know what to do with this. So they bring him to the religious leaders. Verse 13 says, they brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now, what do the Pharisees want to do? They want to kill him. They want to kill Jesus. Verse 14 and 15. Now it was the Sabbath. You might want to circle that in your Bible, okay, because we're going to come back to that in a second. When Jesus made the clay or the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. So it's like they asked him once or twice, who knows, and they go, tell us one more time. They're like, we want to make sure we get this story straight, maybe seeing if there's contradictions or something like that. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Now, did you notice something what is going on here? He was much more descriptive with the neighbors, wasn't he? But with the religious leaders, he's very, very cautious with them. Why is that? I don't think he wants to be there. I don't think he wants to be, because he knows these guys. He knows what they're like. Now, it's not 100% clear why they brought the man to the religious leaders, but it is clear they did what? They just threw him to the wolves because these guys are not good. The religious leaders could care less that this man could now see. Now, just think about that. We're going to talk that about a couple times. How pathetic is that? I mean, even if you met somebody you didn't like at all and they were blind and they came to you and they said, hey, bro, I can now see. Would you be like, I still hate you? Would you say that? No. You'd be like, man, I'm so happy for you. I still hate you, but I'm so happy for you. Right? Right? But it's just like they can't even for a second be happy for the guy. What are they looking for? Evidence against Jesus. That's what they're looking for. We'll see that in a couple minutes. Most likely to them, this guy was a beggar. To the religious leaders, most of them were rich. Not all of them. This guy was a beggar. So what was he to them? He's just a loser. Just a loser. But not to Jesus. What was he to Jesus? Well, the Bible says that we are all created in the image of God. For you note takers, that's Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So to Jesus, he was created in the image of God. Maybe you're here today and you think, okay, you mean nothing to God. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Even people in the Bible we see who once hated Jesus, the greatest apostle of them all, the apostle Paul, hated Jesus and his followers, becomes the greatest, when he meets Jesus, becomes the greatest really person who ever moved churches, planted churches and wrote, greatest writer in the New Testament. No, he cares for you. And then in verse 14, we get the detail that sets the scene for a big problem. It was the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. Now, back in chapter 5, remember Jesus healed a guy on the Sabbath. He was crippled, and he said, get up and walk. The guy got up and walked, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders were all upset. I can't believe he did that on the Sabbath. Not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. Now remember, no work was allowed on the Sabbath. God kind of defined what the work was, but the religious leaders, they just set their own rules on what work was. Okay, let's go through a few things. Making mud would be work. Now, how many people do you know who make mud for a living? Okay, but they would consider that to be work. So just imagine you're a parent. You come out of your house, your kid's in the backyard on the Sabbath making mud. Oh, you're freaking out. You're making mud. You're making mud. Stop, stop. Kid's like, Mom, take a chill pill. Right? That's work, okay? A few other things. Anointing eyes. He anointed his eyes. That's work. That's considered work. It's supposed to be you don't do your job, okay? But now that's work, all right? Now let me pick on the ladies for a second. You ready? You don't look very ready. Okay. Did any of you pluck your eyebrows before you came to church today? Okay. That's work. That's work. That's why we guys don't do it. Right? That's work. Right? Anything like that. Maybe even probably doing your hair. Right? That's work. That's why we don't do our hair. Okay. Some of you guys are like, well, you old guys don't have any hair. Okay. I get it. Be nice. Okay. Even healing was not allowed unless the man's life was in danger. So this could be why they took the man. They're seeking from some sort of idea what's going on or how are we supposed to think about this. But ultimately, what are they doing? They're putting Jesus front and center. What do they want to figure out? Is this a legal healing or not? That's it. Some Bible scholars say they thought that working on the Sabbath took away God's presence and the thought that God was with them. But God was with them. In the person they knew of, Jesus of Nazareth, we know of Jesus back from John chapter 1 as God become a man. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, is that the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, okay, came from eternity past into our domain and how he became one of us. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? That God knows what it's like to be one of us, to be teased, to be disappointed. Man, it hurt when they put those nails in his hands. Well, no joke, right? He knows all of those things that we go through in our lives. But what did the religious leaders do? They had all these silly religious rules. And some of them are still around today in various forms. And when people make these rules up, it makes them feel what about themselves? Self-righteous. Right? And something that Jesus was constantly preaching against. Man-made rules often lead people to look down on others. And yet, when you study the Word of God, if you look at it carefully, it will cause you to ask God for mercy. Because you realize you're not good enough. Verse 16 and 17, therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. This man is not from God. You say, oh, we would never say something like this. No, people do it all the time, don't they? Don't people judge God all the time? They're always judging God. Because he does not keep the Sabbath. Time out. He doesn't keep the Sabbath according to our rules, not according to God's rules. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do or perform such things? Now, such signs. Notice it's plural. So they've been seeing all kinds of stuff that he's been doing. And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. Now, remember what last time he just said, yeah, he opened my eyes. Now, he's just a man. This time he said, he is a prophet. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Now, what's happening as we go through this chapter is we're actually seeing this man become a follower of Jesus. That's why some people come to church one or two times and they think, oh, well, it didn't work for me, right? But most of us, it takes a process. We go through this process and you're thinking and you're thinking and you're thinking and all of a sudden your mind is being open to the things of Jesus. So now here's this thing. Now, a lot of people don't think the Bible's funny. I do, okay? Jesus is creating a division among the religious leaders through a blind guy. Our guy used to be blind, right? And yet the Bible reader, that's us, we have to make a decision. Where do we stand on this? And remember that when you make a decision, remember this applies to God, this applies to Jesus, this applies to your work, this applies to everything. A decision to do nothing, okay, is a decision to do nothing. Right? You say, well, I didn't do anything about it. Well, then you did nothing. Now, some say that he broke the man-made rules of the religious leaders. Now, again, I think that Jesus likes to kind of, you know, get at certain people. How many of you think that he's doing these miracles on the Sabbath just to get under the skin of the religious leaders? I certainly do, right? He's like, yeah, you guys, man, you got to go, man. Others are like, well, look at what he's doing. Now, the first group is very clear. Jesus is not from God. The second group poses a question. Okay, how can this be? Now, most likely the signs group is smaller and less powerful than the others. They have little influence. Now, verse 17 strikes me as incredibly funny. You see, like, where do you get this funny stuff from? They say to the man who was once born blind, what do you say about him? Okay? Now, maybe they were expecting some sort of an answer that would go along with them, okay? But in reality, is the once man born, the once blind man, is he a witness or is he now the judge? Is he going to be the one who's going to tell them? I guess they expected him to agree with them that Jesus is not from God, but he says, oh, he's a prophet. Okay. Now we hear that and we go, okay, we could agree with some of that. Now just picture you're one of the religious leaders. Right? You're angry. How many of you have seen the Lord of the Rings movies? Yeah, they just turned into orcs. Right? They're like, right? They no way, man. No way. This does not make them happy at all. What did he just say to them? This man, Jesus, is a God-ordained miracle worker. And this is the last thing they want to hear. And as we go along, this man's spiritual eyes and his faith in Jesus Christ will continue to increase. But for some people, as our faith increases, for others, our faith decreases. And we begin to not want to hear it. I know many people who, once they hear the Bible taught, would tell you they're Christians, and they're like, I don't want to hear this stuff. And I will say to them, are you telling me that I misrepresented Jesus, or are you telling me you don't like what he has to say? And usually they go, the second one. We had a service here for a beloved sister who went home to be with the Lord. This guy walks out of the service, walks right up to me and goes, I am not a Christian. I said, okay. And he goes, but bro, you flipped me out tonight. Right? He goes, I don't know what to think about that. He goes, it was great. Everybody was so nice. I don't know what to make of it. And the religious leaders took the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was supposed to be a day where they focused on God. And they took that day and basically they turned it into a day of misery. A day of all kinds of rules and regulations, and you want to make sure you're so worried about not doing the right thing. Now, a lot of us would want to judge those people and say all kinds of stuff, but what has the American church done? We've taken the day of the Lord, Sunday, and we've made it optional.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ. And we are overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you would like to pass on this message to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. Our email address is changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. you may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love Radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation, since we consider all of our listeners part of our family. Would you prayerfully consider financially partnering with us so we can continue bringing Pastor Jim's simple teaching to you each day? Some people give monthly, some periodically, and some others a one-time gift. Every gift helps further God's kingdom, and we all play an important role in that. Simply go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org and click the donate button. Our goal is to simply share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to you, your friends, your family, and your community. We would love to hear from you, and please let us know what station you hear Changed by Love Radio on. We pray you stay close to Jesus and that you will be changed by love. God bless you.